Seems we got a tag team thing going here, Sue. It's pretty neat. You know, how long have we been doing this now? I mean, how long have we been doing the service? Remember when I told you the first time you were going to be speaking every time?
Yeah.
You were excited, weren't you?
That's not the word I would use.
Yeah, I think more like terrified.
Yes.
And you're still probably terrified.
Yeah. Shaking my boots.
But the thing is, you're learning is it's not about you. And that you can trust the Lord. If you submit yourself to Him and you go to Him and say, Lord, I got nothing, but I know you got whatever I need, then He can deliver and He will deliver. And that's an awesome thing. You can trust that. All right. So you just asked the question, what do you want? Right? I'm going to kind of continue on with that same question. So I'm going to put a picture in front of you. Keep an eye on the time here. If you're looking at two things, and I'm going to give you an image here. We've got a caterpillar. And we got a butterfly. Which would you rather be? Was that Naomi? Naomi would rather be a butterfly. Sue? Sue would rather be a butterfly. Which would you rather be? Would you rather be the caterpillar? You know, kind of slow moving, kind of not terribly attractive. Not that that's a big part of it, but you know, you're slow moving and you're eating, you know, whatever. Or would you rather be able to fly? You know, God gave us things in the natural to show us things, show us spiritual things. See, we're not called to be caterpillars. We're called to be butterflies. We come to the Lord as worms, do we not?
Amen.
We come to Him as worms. But that's not where He wants us to stay. It's not where He's called us to be. See, there's something that happens at some point in that caterpillar's life. Something happens, and I mean, it's a tiny little brain. I don't know what he's thinking, if he's thinking, or if it's just, you know, coded into him from the creation of the world that God put into this little thing. At some point, he's going to go and make this cocoon and go in it and die. Jesus says, lest a seed fall into the ground and die. Can't do anything. But if it goes in and dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. Speaking of himself. And he tells his disciples, follow me. Is that just walk where I walk? Or is that also follow him as follow his example? It is to follow his example. And he tells us over that if a man seeks to save his life, he'll lose it. But if a man loses his life for his sake, he'll find it. There are many, many, many representations in the Bible or references in the Bible that talk to us about our lives have to get, well, set aside. And you see, when that caterpillar goes into that cocoon and dies, something miraculous happens. He goes in as a worm and comes out. That's a beautiful butterfly. I mean, he's got wings. He can fly. I mean, that, you know, we talk about laws, right? Laws of physical laws. So if he's a worm, this caterpillar, can he fly? Not unless a bird picks him up and carried him away, but he's not flying. He's just a passenger, right? I mean, he cannot fly because the law of gravity keeps him nailed to whatever surface he's on, branch, ground, whatever. He's not going to fly. But when he gets his wings, what happens? He can overcome that law of gravity through the law of lift. And he supersedes that natural law of gravity, and he's not tied to the ground anymore. He's not lashed to it. He's not bound to it because he can fly. You know, as believers, you don't have to be bound to the natural laws of this world. You don't have to be bound to the unbelief and to the sin. And like you were talking about, Sue, this carnal man, you don't have to be subject to it anymore. If you can get an understanding of what it is to die, like that caterpillar going into the cocoon and dying, his old life, his old existence, everything that he used to be as a caterpillar is what? Gone. And he is transformed miraculously. I want to know how evolutionists figure this one out. I mean, how do they just must skip this one, because I don't understand how you could, I don't know how you could see this and see anything other than the hand of an almighty God and his infinite wisdom and power and creation. This caterpillar dies, and then one day that cocoon starts to break. And he comes out as a butterfly, and his entire life is new. It's changed. It's different. And your life as a believer is supposed to be exactly the same thing. It's supposed to be exactly the same experience. As a believer in Christ, you come to Christ one way, and you meet him, you fall on the cross, you repent, and you leave another way. That is how your life is supposed to be. Now, as we walk with the Lord and we deal with these things, I don't know. I wish I could say it was a one-time off thing, but I got to tell you, I feel like I've gone into that cocoon more than once. I don't know how else to put it. I don't know if that's right. I don't know if that's wrong. It just is how I would describe it, that I've had to go into that cocoon more than once. And I don't know if that's because I've picked up my old life and have to put it down again, or the Lord is just continually showing me other areas where I have to put down. I don't know which it is. All I know is that I don't want to stay a caterpillar. I don't want to stay bound to this world and the rules of this world, because they're horrible. They're terrible. I don't want to be bound to the ruler of this world. I want to be free. The only way that's going to happen is you got to die. When you look at water baptism, what's it about? It talks about going in and coming out a new person. Amen. I mean, this is again a representation of this principle. For the guy who seeks to save his life is going to lose it. But the person that loses their life for his sake will have life everlasting. So I'm asking you, what do you want? Do you want to be a caterpillar, or do you want to be a butterfly? And if your answer is, I want to be a butterfly, then realize what's involved. Realize that there is no space for your life in Jesus, Jesus' life. You don't add Jesus to your life. You put your life down. You put it down. You put it off. You put off the old man, off the old life, off the old nature, and you put on Jesus, the new life, the new man, and the new nature. And you do that by faith. I don't drop dead right this second, and I am still stuck with the carnality of the old man. I'm just not going to be subject to it anymore. Because I don't have to be. It's still there. But I don't have to be subject to it. The scripture I wanted to read today, I still have plenty of time. I might even end early. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to start with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. You ever hear the same message over and over? I know you guys in South Carolina, if you're with Phil, boy, you're hearing the same message over and over and over and over. You know what's a pretty decent message? God's good and we're not. That's a pretty good message. And we probably need to hear that until we get it. But Paul's telling these guys, look, it's not hard for me to go over this stuff again. You need it. You need this. And he's going to talk to them here a little bit. He says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. He's talking about those people that want to bring any fraction or faction of the law or self-righteousness into the gospel. Because that's what they were dealing with. They were dealing with Judaizers that wanted to mix the law with grace. And we know that if you do that, you have fallen from grace. You can go read Galatians and see very clearly that if you allow that thought, the idea of works that if your works have any part at all, then grace has become none effect to you. And he's warning them, beware of these guys. Because see, that doctrine, that word that they try and preach to you, it really appeals to the flesh. I mean, the gospel is you're worth nothing. And their gospel is, well, you're worth a little bit. Or maybe it could be you're special and you're worth everything. Who knows? But anything other than it's all about Jesus is off. And he's telling them to beware of this. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Right? This is sort of what you were talking about yourself, Sue. Without him, we can do what? Nothing. And if you really believe that, if you really understand that, you will have no confidence in your flesh. Amen? And you will put your confidence in Jesus. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. This is Paul talking about himself. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Look, if there was a guy who had the right to trust in the law, it was Paul. And he doesn't trust in the law. I don't want to get too far ahead, because he says it better than I could. Yes, this next verse is it. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And that's a very, you know, Elizabethan way of saying crap. Even more demonstratively. He counts all of that as dung. What do you hold on to as having value or worth? Your experience in the business world, maybe? Or maybe your education? Or maybe it's your lack of education and your ability to yet do okay without it. What do you hold on to that you think has some value? Because I tell you right now, it doesn't have any value. It's garbage. And if someone like Paul, who had absolutely every pedigree known to man that would put him in the position to trust in his standing and abilities and everything else, he was the guy. And yet he says, I lost it all, throw it all away, I count it but dung. You know, Brother Steve was kind of hitting some of these points in his own life. All the various colleges he went to and the great accolades and things that he was able to accomplish in himself. And, you know, if some guy had a pedigree that was one that was, hey, you know, I don't need Jesus, it would be Brother Steve. It wouldn't be Brother Phil. I mean, Brother Phil, drug addict, you know, wouldn't be me, college dropout. I mean, look around, guys. We got nothing to trust in. And if Brother Paul, Apostle Paul here would say, I'm thinking of Brother Paul too. If Apostle Paul would say he counts it all but dung, and Brother Steve says he counts it all but dung, these are guys that if there was a reason to trust in something of yourself, these guys would have it. But yet, they all count it but dung. So I'm going to just read the last part about that verse. He says, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. See, you cannot win Christ and hold on to anything in your mind that you have anything to offer. Okay? Do you understand what that's saying? If you try and hold on to some little bit of your own self-worth, of your own self-importance, of your own abilities, of your own, if you put stock in anything of yourself, you can't win Christ. And it's like that caterpillar. If he doesn't go into that cocoon and die, he will never be a butterfly. You understand? And if you're not willing to have that, to have this same mind, to put it all. I remember, and I repent before the Lord for this. I remember just the reality of a few years ago, just the reality of, you know, I'm no more than, I mean, maybe 30 days away from flipping burgers, man. I mean, anything in my life could be gone in an instant, and I might get a job flipping burgers. I mean, literally, the reality of that's how much I'm worth. And I was expressing that to someone who claimed to be a believer. And he said to me, oh, you know, that's just not true. You know, you have all this other stuff going for him. And for whatever stupidity, I gave that space. You know, it's more recently, I'm right back to where I was before, which is the right place to be. In myself, man, I don't even know I could flip burgers right. I might eat them. I get fired because I eat all the goods. I'll be like Wimpy. Depends on where I was flipping burgers, but Brother Paul up there, I'm at Hardee's. But no, but seriously, getting to the reality that there is nothing I have to offer, there's nothing good within myself and my own abilities and my own, there's nothing. And that in an instant, in a fraction of an instant, it can all be gone. Everything can change. And I have absolutely nothing within myself that is of myself that I can fall back on. Nothing. I have Jesus. And in Him, I could do whatever He would have me do. And that might even be one day flipping burgers. Praise God, I'll flip burgers. But in myself, I got nothing. Nothing. And anything I thought I had, oh, I got nothing. Absolutely nothing. Verse 9, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ. Again, we've talked about Jesus' faith, right? Not even our faith. Okay, through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. This is Paul, guys. Paul the apostle talking about, if by any means I might attain. I mean, think of the humility of where this guy's coming from. And then look at yourselves and where are you coming from? See, I came out of the organized church. I came out of the happy, clappy, roly-poly sort of, who stole my Honda, retie your bow tie kind of guys. That's an old joke. That's how they used to teach people to pray in tongues. You got to say, who stole my Honda real fast and retie your bow tie. You got to say it really fast, repeatedly, and eventually you'll speak in tongues. I wish I was kidding. Church I went to didn't do that. They did other weird stuff, but I wish I was kidding, but I'm not. Then they make you motorboat sounds. That's always good. I'm going to get off track here. But the presumption that they walked in, the presumption that I walked in when I was in that world. I remember the services. Gosh, I ran out of time already. So again, I guess I will be short on time. You know, if you're not 100% certain that if you died right now, you'd go to heaven, you need to stand up. And I'm thinking, I mean, we were all programmed to. I mean, I'm 100% sure. I don't know what that was based on. Certainly wasn't based on scripture, but we got Paul here saying, if by any means I might attain unto the... I mean, this guy, if Paul didn't say, oh yeah, I got this. You don't see Paul saying that, do you? You don't see him saying that. He's still putting his faith and trust in Jesus' ability to translate him. And this is Paul. If anyone had like a reason, I mean, we can look back and see now. I don't know. I mean, looking at him then, maybe it made sense to think this way about the guy. But if we look back now, he's responsible for most of the New Testament. The power of God working mightily through him. But here, look at the humility. Nothing about himself or his abilities or his person or his pedigree or his lineage was at all relevant to him. It was just Jesus. Just Jesus. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Look at this. Look at the humility, but he's coming at this from. Paul, where are you? Where are you with the reality of your walk with the Lord? This terrifies me. This terrifies me way down deep in my core of the presumption that in my life as a believer I have walked in and yet at times still continue to walk in and am reminded, much to my chagrin at times, of where I'm still at. And it terrifies me. You got that caterpillar. He's got to go into the cocoon. He's got to die. And he's got to go in there. And I don't know what the caterpillar's thinking. I don't know if he does think. I don't know. It's an insect. Do they think? I don't know. God knows. I don't know. I look at my dog sometimes and wonder what he's thinking. It may just be food, water, people. I don't know what he's thinking. But I wonder if the caterpillar goes in there believing he's going to come out. Because we can have that hope. Amen? We can have that hope because of all the examples we see in Scripture and we see throughout nature and we see the goodness and grace and mercy of God. We can have that hope. We don't have to go into that cocoon without hope. We go in with hope. With hope. Amazing. We go in with the knowledge that the Almighty God is prepared this way. And if we trust him and we put down our lives, we put down the imaginations of our mind and our intellect and all the things that we had held stock in, if we just throw that away and count it but dung and go into that cocoon and submit ourselves unto death, the death of our will, the death of our way, the death of our life, that God, through his miraculous power, will transform our existence, not in the great by and by, but right now. Right now. This is a big part of what Brother Steve's been talking about raising our sights. And the prayer in Ephesians we're supposed to be reading every day as in agreeing with the Apostle Paul on our behalf. This is what this is about. Not that we stay as caterpillars for our entire lives and then die, but that we are transformed now through faith in God, through Jesus' faith, that we are transformed into butterflies and operate in the spiritual, in the kingdom of God, partake of the kingdom of God now. Okay, verse 13 again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press forward to the mark, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what I encourage you to do. Now, I don't have time to go into it now, but I spent some time talking with Sue that I got a lot of things in my past that I need to forget about, that I need to just let go of, because they haven't done me any good. And I need to stop looking at all the limitations that I am as a caterpillar and look at what I could be, limitless as a butterfly. And I think if you take the time, especially those that have been part of this fellowship for 20 some odd years, longer, 30 some odd years, and 100 years, you know. I hope she's listening. But if you forget about all the things in the past and you press forward to what God has before us right now, the prize that is before us right now, that's where you got to put your eyes. That's where you got to put your focus. And you could be a butterfly. Guys, that's it for us today here in Arizona. We thank you for listening.